You are listening to Musings and Magic on the Rewild and Free podcast.
Welcome to Musings and Magic. I'm Lauren Fortuna Flock. I'm a mother, doula, the host of the Well-Nourished Mother podcast, and a somatic matrescence guide. I support mothers through the waves of intensity motherhood brings so they can fall in love with the mother they are and the mother they're becoming.
And I'm Nicole Pasvier, a mom, wife, and host of the Rewild and Free podcast. I help women awaken beyond the conditioning that's been keeping them pretty perfect and pleasing so that they can live more consciously, mother intuitively, and grow their business holistically.
We've never met in real life, and we live 700 miles apart.
But we've been holding space for each other virtually since 2022, when we found each other in super similar seasons of life.
Yeah, we were both in our retiring from a super secure nursing job, in the thick of postpartum, and starting a heart-led business era. We found ourselves chatting for hours on Zoom almost weekly, having the deep, why isn't anyone talking about this conversations around all things motherhood and conscious entrepreneurship.
So we started recording these unfiltered and unscripted conversations to bring you this co-created series. We're inviting you in with deep trust that you'll receive whatever insight, wisdom, or solidarity you need in this season, because we all know motherhood and entrepreneurship are lonely as fuck.
Yeah, we're blending our musings with a touch of magic, the kind of woo-woo, more spiritual, witchy stuff that we're both so curious about, but don't fully relate to.
Yet.
Our intention is to invite more ritual into our lives, so we're using this series to anchor into the cycle of the moon, meeting on the full and new moons of each month. We'll do an energy check-in and explore nuanced conversations around big topics related to cyclical orientation, feminine embodiment in business and motherhood, and our own personal explorations related to reclaiming our inner witch.
So if you're ready to come laugh, learn, and reflect with us, then keep listening. But first, we invite you to take the deepest breath you've given to yourself yet today. And when you're ready, let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Musings and Magic, a full moon episode.
Yeah. Hi. It feels funny to just automatically start getting into the episode because Lauren and I just spent a bit of time recording an intro for this series. We haven't had one up until now, and it's kind of felt, I don't know, a bit disconnected, especially if there's people listening on her podcast versus mine. And if, yeah, I don't know, we just needed a bit of formality, I guess, around that. So if you've been listening all this time and you're hearing it for the first time, that's why.
Yeah.
And if this is your first time listening, welcome. We're so happy you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it gives you a bit more kind of understanding of what this is and why we're doing this. Yeah.
And I also just want to name, like, before we started recording this, I don't know if there's hesitation, but like we had a quick conversation of like, where is our heart in this? Like, do we still want to keep doing this? We accidentally, I guess, missed the last new moon. It's kind of just like a weird time. Like, we both got sick shortly after one another. And yeah, like it literally just kind of like, I know it slipped my mind. And then after the fact, it's like, oh shit, we missed our Musings and Magic call. And Lauren and I literally went like a whole month without connecting on Zoom, and that was weird for us too. So you
so
also
weird.
Had your brother's wedding.
Yeah.
And I went on a little girls trip with my mom and Aubrey, and like I said, we both had our own bouts of sickness, and yeah, just the chaos that brings and kind of the slow reemergence back into life as we know it.
Yeah. And I think in the past, like my own kind of perfectionism or like my own all or nothing thinking would have been like, well, we skipped an episode. It's ruined now. We can't do it anymore.
Failed. We're done.
We failed. Yeah. But, you know, we're both in this season of like, no, we're making our own rules while also trying to, you know, have some semblance of consistency. I know we've talked about consistency in the past too, and you know, kind of redefining what that even means too. So here we are. We're not going to like make a bunch of crazy excuses for skipping the last episode, but I'm proud of us for showing up today, because I think we could have easily just not done this one and maybe waited for the next one, but it's been great so far. like Nicole said, we've been already chatting for almost like an hour. So yeah. Do you, so yeah, yes, for getting back on and
yeah. Well, and I actually like just kind of reflecting on that in real time as you just said that, like the consistency piece and how much we do talk about that and how much we are kind of unlearning and relearning our own way. And we both have this longing to have more ritual in our lives. And I think I shared this in our last episode that I am definitely feeling this desire for a little bit more structure in my life. And I don't know if it's like this desire for more purpose and like something to show up to, but I think ritual does help create that. And so almost just in my own mind, like swapping the word for consistency with ritual feels really good. Like, so we are ritualizing these episodes. And so the consistency of that ritual, obviously we are trying to anchor around the lunar cycles, but ultimately like it's our own world rules. So that just feels really good.
I love what you just said there, that you're like, yeah, swapping that language, swapping consistency for ritual and seeing this as a ritual practice to come and show up for. I like that a lot. And it's funny because we're talking about, you know, my perfectionism around, you know, missing an episode in my own actual podcast, The Well-Nourished Mother. I don't think I've released an episode in like 2 months now. And somehow I'm okay with that. It's like, you know, it's fine. I know I'm going to get back to it. And I think that's the difference here. In the past, it's like, if I couldn't be consistent, I would just completely fall off entirely, very all or nothing, whether it was with working out, with eating well, like whatever it was. But now there's this like really deep trust that I love this project. I love this podcast. And I know that when the aligned people show up or when the aligned topics or things I want to say show up, I know that I'm going to show up and hit record. So yeah, there's just such a difference there.
I'm celebrating you in that. And I think it really does speak volumes about the growth and like depth of self-trust that you've created and cultivated over like even just like the short period of time that I've known you. So that's really cool. Proud of you, my friend.
Thank you.
And I relate to a lot of that too, like just this podcast, and we've again talked about this before, where like for both of us, this podcast, creating a podcast, has kind of been an opportunity to really embody, I think, some of our values and embody like the lack of rules we're following, and to kind of like heal that perfectionist self in us. And like, it's just, I know for me, it's become this like safe place for me to experiment a little bit, to play, to practice using my voice and finding my voice. And yeah, there's just this beautiful opportunity for self-expression. So
It's like podcasting as a spiritual practice. Yes. Like I relate so much. I've healed so much through just creating this podcast. And what's so different now is like in the beginning, if I, you know, screwed up my schedule, I was on a much more strict schedule at the beginning every 2 weeks, you know, and if I screwed that up, there was immediately this inner critic of, oh, you're not doing it right. Comparing myself to others, all the language out there that says you have to release weekly or nobody's going to listen. And it's just so cool that voice just isn't there, like I said, and that just self-trust that this is mine. It's not anybody else's. I mean, it's for everyone else. Like I'm creating it, you know, hopefully that people get value out of it, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it because I love it. And I have something to say and I want to share it. So it's just fun. Like you said, that we get to kind of embody those values through this practice of having a podcast and having a business. Cause I think that's what creating a business is all about too. Yeah.
Yeah.
What we can learn the about ourselves piece. Through it.
Totally. The value piece is interesting. Cause I know that is still a sticky point that you and I both kind of get caught up in within the podcasting realm, but also just like within our businesses and like trying to ensure that whatever we're creating is valuable to whoever is on the receiving end of it. And I know I'm constantly reminding myself, and I've like voiced it in our conversations too, where like we don't get to decide what's valuable. Like I constantly have to just tell myself and like step into deep trust that like whatever is here for you as the listener is there, and like you will take, like it's not up to me to decide what pieces of this are like earth shattering, world changing, transformative moments for you, right? Like everyone listening is coming at this in their own season of life and motherhood and entrepreneurship, if they fit into those camps. And I don't know, yeah, I think, and we recorded this in our intro, where the intention here is that our listeners can just walk away with whatever wisdom and insight and solidarity they're needing. Mm-hmm. And it, I know for me, it really takes away the pressure of like, how do I make sure that they like love this? And yeah, just reminding myself that that's not up to me. Yeah. And I'm doing a disservice if I continue to hold the bar so high that I'm constantly trying to perfect things, because then things never get put out there.
Yeah.
So taking the messy action, even when it feels uncomfortable, or even when I'm cringing, or even when I, yeah, my inner critic is loud and tells me I can do better.
Yeah. And, you know, all of that worrying and, you know, it takes you out of embodiment, right? When we're sitting here while we're talking, worrying about, you know, is this valuable? We're being taken out of our true essence, our true embodiment, which is changing our message, which is changing how we're speaking. And yeah, so it's a good reminder to just stay present and yeah, to what's actually here right now, not to what we hope to give others, you know, that weird definition of what is valuable. Yeah.
It's so true, because when you kind of hone in on trying to make something super valuable, that automatically is teetering you into a more performative, trying to prove yourself kind of energy. And that's not supportive for anyone.
Yeah.
And it's also like not a sustainable energy to be creating from. So anyways, I feel like that was a beautiful tangent, as they always are.
Next,
it's the full moon.
Next in tangent. May.
I have no idea what this full moon is about. It's funny because I feel like every episode we apologize for our ignorance around this stuff, and we keep saying we're gonna learn, and like I know I haven't even like looked into this month. I have no idea what's going on in the sky right now. I hear Aubrey at my door, and I think it's locked. I'm gonna let her say hi. It wouldn't be a Musings and Magic episode without Aubrey or Zoe.
Yeah.
Hi, sweetheart. Yeah, anyways, so full moon. Zoe's not here today.
No, she's at the beach with her dad. Hi, Aubrey.
Do you want to go find Grandpa? Where'd Grandpa go? Where'd Grandpa go?
I wish you all could just see the face Aubrey made. Oh my gosh. When Nicole asked her if she wanted to go find Grandpa, it was like I don't think so. So yeah, so it's the full moon. To be honest, I actually thought the full moon wasn't until like next week somehow. I don't know. Yeah, that just goes to show how like deep in a very like low energy, no capacity, only like looking inward kind of season I've been in since probably the last, I guess since I got home from my trip to Ontario for my brother's wedding, which was at the end of April.
Yeah, which would have been the last full moon. Yeah, and I can like completely relate with all of that too. Like for anyone that's following me on Instagram, like I decided and committed to a bit of an Instagram sabbatical that started on May 1st, which was also the first day of my menstrual cycle. So yeah, I've been technically like offline for what, like 3 weeks? I don't even know. I'm looking at a calendar and trying to count. Almost 4 weeks, I think. And yeah, just reflecting, I guess, on, I mean, you said it all better, just like this very like inwards introspective state. And then of course, like sickness and traveling, like all of it has really brought me into the present moment and has really like heightened my awareness of, okay, what are my values? What are my priorities right now? What am I doing? And at times it feels like this almost like identity crisis of like, what am I doing? And a lot of fear and insecurity is also coming up with all that, which is a scary place to be. There's been a lot of negative spiraling on my end. I shared with you today that I'm actually feeling quite a bit better today. And like, as the week has gone by, like I feel a little bit lighter and a little bit clearer. But the first couple weeks of May were honestly kind of dark for me. Mm-hmm. And it definitely wasn't what I was expecting with being offline. I was expecting to kind of get this reset and this opportunity to kind of refuel myself and like maybe tap into just like this beautiful, blissful, like creative outpour. And I haven't experienced any of that. Mm-hmm. So as time continues to keep going, that like sense of urgency is creeping in, and that like, when's it going to come? What if it never comes back? Mm-hmm. And really what I'm taking away from all of that is honestly, like this season of motherhood for me, the season of life with Dylan's like transition of jobs. I don't even know grammatically how I should say that. Like it's a hard season and my capacity is full. Like my plate is full. So it's no wonder that some businessy stuff is kind of what's being pushed aside. And there's a mix of like peace with that, because I think like logically I can just see so clearly that, well, yeah, of course you don't have like the capacity to show up in your business the way you want to right now. But there's also a lot of frustration, a lot of like, just, I don't know, like, why is this happening? Like, why didn't I set myself up better? So I suppose there's some shaming happening, even though I didn't realize that was happening. And also some illumination, I guess, of where I'm feeling under-supported in my life and where I might be teetering into like resentment in different relationships in my life. So it's this opportunity and invitation to tend to those relationships. And like, it's really just this big thing that I think a lot of women probably experience, but it's not talked a lot about. And it's so easy to quickly internalize it as like failing or mm-hmm. something's wrong with me, or I must like be giving up, or I don't even know. Like,
yeah. And like in motherhood, the only thing that we can be so certain about is that it's going to change. Like you get used literally. To, you're at the mercy of a rhythm that's not your own, really. Like the rhythm of your toddler, the rhythm of your family. And with so much change happening, like for you specifically, you're in a new phase of motherhood right now. So it makes sense that your business, like everything, not just your business, everything needs a little bit of reorganization, all of your priorities, everything. And I think it's when we kind of fight against that, that like you said, we start to feel like we're failing, when really it's like a moment to pause. It's communication. It's saying, okay, whoa, we got to like pump the brakes for a second here, because we need to have a look at all of this again. I feel like,
which like hearing all that, that's exactly kind of what led me to this Instagram sabbatical, is I felt all this building up, and I felt myself kind of creeping into some kind of state of burnout, and I knew that things kind of needed to be shaken up to settle back into place. So I knew there needed to be kind of some shifts and some restructuring and some recalibration. And then, like May just kind of continued to like dump little bits of chaos onto me. And I mean, that's how life goes, right? Life mm-hmm. just keeps lifing. And it is this opportunity of, okay, how do I want to react here? Like, am I going to be reactive and almost like defensive and resistive to this? Or can I just like soften and kind of surrender almost feels too passive, because obviously like I'm not just completely like, ooh, whatever happens happens. Like I'm still consciously creating my life and like fine-tuning the things around me and tending to the things that are important to me. But there is a sense of peace and a sense of trust that this won't last forever. That sense of trust is really quick to kind of flutter away, and I constantly have to retap into it to kind of like ground myself and like just remember like why I'm doing what I'm doing and like what my values are and what my purpose is and where I want to go in life and motherhood. And as an entrepreneur, all the things. So
yeah,
it's a lot. Like it,
it is a lot.
It feels like I'm holding a lot of space for myself, which I am. So obviously that's why it feels that way. But even with that said, like it makes it feel almost impossible to hold space for others right now, which is a really scary feeling to have as an online coach, right? My job right now is to hold space for others. And I'm kind of having to put that on pause. Yeah. And there was a lot of fear going into this Instagram sabbatical, because without realizing it, like I've put so much weight on showing up online and like Instagram essentially being like my marketing machine. And like, that's how people find me. That's how people can stay connected to me. That's how people can learn like what offerings I have. And so without that, there was a lot of fear of like, what's going to happen to my business. Mm-hmm. And I think since I'm now in it, like 3-4 weeks in, like that's all settling. There's less fear. Like I've already stayed connected with some really cool humans. And like, I know everything is going to be exactly the same as I left it whenever I'm ready to return, and like just full trust that I'll be able to return in a like fuller, more expressive, more embodied and authentic like version of myself. So,
and I want to celebrate you, because I think what you're doing is embodying a more feminine approach to business, right? Mm-hmm. You're not giving in to that pressure that says you need to hustle and push through it no matter what.
Which is why it feels so uncomfortable.
Yeah. 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 Because you're literally breaking chains of conditioning right now, Nicole. So it's big. Yeah. And it's easy to kind of get stuck in that. Like overanalyzing it, right? Like overanalyzing it, questioning it. Why is this happening? Why am I doing this? And almost like it's easy to teeter into overanalyzing as a way to protect yourself from feeling those uncomfortable emotions.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Like, what's that saying that I've been seeing going around? Like, overthinking is
underfeeling. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the overanalyzing is totally like a safety mechanism. Mm-hmm. To kind of like have this false sense of control too, when like truly like there is very little control over what's happening right now. And yeah, so yeah, here I am. How about you?
Well, I think it's so funny. Like we said, we hadn't talked in like a month, and then we had a quick chat. When was it? Like last week or on the weekend? Yeah, what day is it?
A couple days ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. A couple days ago.
And I started talking, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like we've been having like a parallel, very similar experience without knowing it. Because like I said, we hadn't even been like texting, messaging, nothing for so long. So I've been having it's been kind of like a dark month. I mean, I got back from Ontario. I got really sick. Probably the sickest, like I had a flu, probably the sickest I've been as long as I can remember. Like didn't have a full on fever, but had all like the signs of a fever and the symptoms of a fever. My skin hurt. Like, you know, when you touch, you like rub your arm and it literally just like, it hurts. Fever, like chills, fatigue, all of it. And it is now May 23rd. It's like a month later, and I still have nasal congestion. So I think I have a little bit of a lingering like sinusitis. So it's just felt never ending. But I spent, you know, when I was in the thick of that flu, I literally couldn't leave the couch. Like I was so exhausted. I watched nothing but TV. Like we had the TV on all day because mothering when you're sick is impossible. And I had no help. You know, my husband had to go to work. I had to be, you know, alone with Zoe for a couple days there. So it was rough, but I think it kind of almost like kind of got me stuck in that place of like being low energy, lethargic, not wanting to like take any information in, like just wanted to binge watch Orange is the New Black. And yeah, so then it kind of spiraled into this very like negative self-talk. I was feeling really low about my body image, my hair, how I look, wrinkles, like all of these things that, you know, never really bother me that much, or if they do, it's very fleeting, but this just felt extra heavy. And I literally, like, I felt bloated. And at the same time as this, I've started working with Jerry, who's an amazing copywriter. She's helping me out with writing the copy for my website. So I've got this big project kind of going on behind the scenes, which is really making me look at my whole business, you know, from with a really like large lens and figuring out my messaging and really what it is that I'm doing and who I'm serving and putting language to that. So it's big. It feels big. And it feels scary. And it feels like I've been, you know, those 3 weeks of me being very low energy inward, not doing a whole lot of anything. Now I can look back and know that, you know, that is really how my creative process works. And I don't know if I've shared it on this podcast before, but like, I've really come to realize that what I used to call like procrastination and freeze and shutdown even, I think is much more tied into my own process of creativity than I really realized. Looking back now, it really felt like I was gestating something. Like I was literally bloated. My stomach was just so bloated for those 3 weeks too. And sure, there's probably a million other reasons why too, but it's like, I was truly like something was percolating underneath. And now, you know, today I'm on day 14. I've got lots to say, as you can maybe tell. As Nicole's talking, I'm like taking so many notes because I've got too many thoughts going through my head and I don't want to forget one. And like, you should see the paper in front of me. Whereas 3 weeks ago, there was like not a single, you know, great thought flying through my head at all. So it's just so funny. I think that shift in energy, I'm feeling so much more now because of how I was feeling before, which was really, really low. So anyway, see, you can tell I'm just a little bit like the words can't get out fast enough right now. So yeah, day 14, feeling very energized, feeling a huge, huge shift, in my mental clarity, everything. And the writing of my website is now feeling like, I feel like I'm on the cusp of a lot of clarity. And I've already had so much kind of come through. And so, yeah, it's like looking back, I was in a very, very much a contraction phase before this expansion. And it happens all the time. And yet every time I'm so surprised by it and like taken aback by it.
I will say though, like with each cycle and each time you experience this, you called it a roller coaster in our text earlier this week, right? These like really harsh and drastic highs and lows, this deep, dark, tight contraction followed by this kind of like floaty, blissful expansion. I feel like each time you're experiencing this, you are quicker to realize, oh yeah, like nothing's wrong here. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. This is how creation moves through me. And so like, I can kind of sense that like, it's, I can kind of sense that those like dark contractive moments, hopefully are maybe getting less scary and you're having an easier time remembering that like this too shall pass and that this is necessary for the expansion.
And I already noticed.
I also wanted to, you go ahead. I will hold my thought.
I was just going to say, I already noticed that like during this whole kind of dark time, like, yes, I had a lot of, you know, the inner critic was online very much so, but there was much less of this like worrying that this is just who I am. Like the story was a little less attached to it. I was much more able to just be in it and like, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. Cool. Let's just be in it.
I'm glad you said that because that kind of weaves into what I was about to switch gears into. And I wanted to circle back to your share kind of around the body image stuff and how when you shared that with me a couple of days ago, I was like, oh, wow, like I've been experiencing that too. And I've kind of been thinking that maybe it has to do with like the change in seasons and how we're kind of coming into summer. And so that means like I'm wearing different clothes and I'm just noticing that like, I don't love the clothes I'm wearing. I don't love the way they fit me. They just don't feel right. And then of course that turns into like my body. I don't love my body. And those are very new and unfamiliar feelings for me. I don't usually have like body image stuff. Like I don't even know how to word that. And I feel privileged to even be able to say that. But another thing that's been sneaking in is this mom guilt, which again is something that I've never completely resonated with. I feel like I've always been able to just kind of zoom out and see the situation and not really internalize it as guilt. And yeah, that these waves of guilt have been creeping in for me, and coupled with the body image stuff and like some other things that have been happening, I'm realizing as I look at it a little bit deeper, it's all coming down to this like sense of self-worth and my worthiness to take up space. Mm. And so I'll share a couple examples, like the body image stuff, I think is one of them. But I attended a sound bath, I don't remember when, beginning of the month. And this is my first time going to a sound bath. That's beside the point. The point is I was in person with this kind of community of like-minded humans, which I really haven't been putting myself in those spaces for a long, long time. And I feel like there's been so much shifts for me in my identity and just who I am in this world over the past couple years. And this was a really like big moment for me to be around these kind of people. And someone asked me, like, what do you do? And like, I completely froze. I completely felt like lost and stuck and insecure. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel confident in what I'm doing right now. I feel like I'm still in this stage and season of figuring things out and still trying to find like my place as like an online coach and in like the business world and the motherhood space and all of it. And yeah, just really noticed that there was this really big discomfort in being seen. And that like, as I was kind of just like reflecting on it after, like, I realized like part of it is this worthiness to take up space. Like I'm almost like not feeling worthy to take up space as who I am right now. And that was a little bit hard to digest. I feel like it's gotten a little bit less charged. I'm able to just, yeah, like speak about it a bit more and try to kind of make sense of it, but also realizing that I don't need to make sense of it and I can just kind of be with it. Mm-hmm. And the other, what was the other thing? There was something else that I was going to share that also kind of circled to the same thing around like that sense of worth and taking up space and mom guilt. Okay, yeah. So there was also mom guilt with being at the sound bath, which is weird because like I've left the house, I've done things, but this was different. This was in the evening. I had like left laundry in. I had just washed our bedding because we were just getting over being sick and stuff. And so I was like cleaning the house and washing everything. And so I basically left Dylan with like an unmade bed and told him like, you'll have to make the bed. And he's fully capable of doing laundry and making the bed. But that's been one of like the roles that I happily take on. Like I actually don't mind laundry and like he does other stuff like that. That's usually my lane. So there was almost like this sense of guilt of making him do that. There was this sense of guilt that I went to an event and I told Dylan, like, I'm not going to be on my phone. Like if you need to reach me, like you can't reach me. I've never had that situation yet before where like I can't be reached. And then also in that same week when we were sick, like I, in one of my like lowest moments of being sick, I needed Dylan to stay home. And there was a sense of guilt that I needed to ask him to stay home. And it's like, whoa, where's that coming from? Like I said, these are feelings that I've never really resonated with and they felt so unfamiliar. And like I said, as I've kind of zoomed out and looked at it all and looked at the context of everything, it's all stemming back to this worthiness of taking up space. So interesting. Yeah. And now I've kind of been going down some rabbit holes. Like I said, like some things need to shift in our lives. I'm at max capacity. This season of motherhood is tough. So I'm going down the rabbit hole of looking at potentially like part-time preschools and like what that might look like. And does it actually align with my values? Or is this really just this moment of panic that I need more help? I don't know. But with it all that, here comes the guilt of like, who am I to need outside help? I chose the stay-at-home mom life. I chose to quit my super stable and secure nursing job. And it's like, well, wait a minute, Nicole, like you also chose to build your own online business and to like show up as that identity. And it's so, so interesting, just the friction that's coming up. And yeah, like the worthiness of taking up space. So it's coming down to like not feeling worthy, to needing external help, and that I should be able to do it all on my own because I've done it for 2.5 years. And
yeah. And I think, like you said it, like I think what's at the core of a lot of those guilt feelings is feeling like we're supposed to be able to do it all. And like everything you just said, like I'm shocked, right? Like you're a stay-at-home mom full time. Okay, there's one full time job. You're also trying to build a business, like full time, like not really full time, because you're still a stay-at-home mom. It's not like you have her in daycare or have care for her every single day. No, you're doing both at the exact same time. Like in a lot of ways, it's a recipe for burnout, right? Like thinking that you can do two full-time jobs at the same time. And I think this is what is so hard about being moms of young children who aren't in school, who are also trying to build businesses. We're comparing ourselves a lot of the time to people who are in completely different phases of both motherhood and of business. We're comparing our beginnings to their like expert era 10 years in, and we're comparing our like toddler mom life or baby mom life to their like, you know, kids are in school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So it's just, it's hard. It's really, really hard. This phase of both motherhood and building a business, they're both very hard in their own ways. And they're especially hard when you put them together.
Totally. And like, I think some of the frustration that comes up is like, I know all this, yeah, right? This is like a big part of what my business is built on.
Yeah.
And I think what I've also noticed is how quick I am to kind of gaslight myself and start comparing my hard to other people's hard, or even like,
yeah,
thinking about like some of my close friends who are full-time working moms and have to put their kid in full-time childcare, not out of desire, but out of like a necessity. And so kind of like respecting the privilege I have to be at home with my kid and not wanting to abuse it. And it's just this weird, there's just like, yeah, a lot of friction. And yeah, obviously in the moments when I'm kind of going down those more negative spirals, it's a little bit heavier. And then there's moments like today where I can kind of completely unattach myself to any of the stories and just see the things as they're coming up and the thoughts as they come and they go. And like, yeah, it's interesting. It's a wild ride. And yeah, I don't know. Like I know I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm feeling brave to talk about it. But I also would be lying if like I didn't say that it kind of feels like, I don't want to say it's like feeling like I'm failing, but there's definitely some, I guess, like feelings of being a fraud. Like, who am I to then coach other women to essentially find balance in conscious entrepreneurship and motherhood when I'm not finding the balance right now? But I can also see that, no, this is part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, and like you shared before, like I'm embodying kind of a more feminine embodied business. And that involves these moments of pause and these pockets of rest and yeah, taking time offline and just not being on all the time. And
yeah.
So, I mean, with all that, like I'm proud of myself when I can zoom out and see it that way,
yeah,
but it's also heavy at times.
For sure. You're doing it your way, which is, you know, I've been in your containers, and that's one of your biggest like messages, right? Is figuring out how you want to do it your way. And that's what you're doing. You're just in the hard part where it's like, okay, I need to figure out something different here because we're in a new phase and something needs to shift. Yeah.
And I think that's where the fear creeps in. So it's not so much like a fear of failing as it is like a fear of, what if this doesn't work? Or like, what if my way isn't right? So it's more self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I had to kind of bring language to it, it's self-doubt. It's like, what if this isn't working? What if the path I've kind of cultivated for myself is, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's not like I feel like I'm going in the wrong direction. It's just, it feels like that path is really thick with whatever is on paths. And I have a lot of cutting down to do. Mm. And I mean, it makes perfect sense because we literally are like trailblazing.
Yes. Yeah, there's no one to look at.
Yeah. So that's where the fear comes in. It's like, oh shit, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Is this working? yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I could go on and on and on, but it also, I'm like in the thick of it. So I don't have like the happy ending or the solution yet.
Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, but it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Where are you in your cycle right now? I think we're usually pretty close.
I'm on day... No, my cycle has been getting shorter, which is interesting. And this is, I mean, I could do a whole episode talking about kind of the things that led me to realize, oh shit, like I'm teetering into burnout. I need to make some changes. And one of them was some of like the physical stuff going on. Like my cycle's getting shorter, which, I mean, that might not be a bad thing, but just noticing the shift. And just a change in appetite and a change in cravings. There was some like digestive stuff going on and my skin's been breaking out more. I mean, all the common signs of like stress, right? Mm-hmm. So not sleeping great, like all of that. And so, yeah, anyways, to answer your question, I'm on day, well, my cycle started on the 1st. So I'm like in line with the month. So today's whatever day it is. Thursday, May 23rd. So I'm on day 23.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We're so far apart now. That's
funny. Yeah. Like exactly. Somehow we're 9 days apart and we used to be just a couple days. So yeah. Also obviously taking that with a grain of salt, right? I'm in my luteal phase now. We're living in this full moon energy.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel pretty good, but I've noticed that like my luteal phase has felt good for me the last couple of cycles, which is really, really cool. My inner critic is less online, or like you so beautifully articulated, like even when it's there, like I'm able to not attach to the stories that she's kind of telling me. And as I get closer and closer to my bleed, and this is also kind of in line with the full moon energy, like I just almost feel this sense of clarity around like my inner knowing. And there's almost like a sprinkle of courage that comes through me where I'm ready to kind of finalize some of my decisions that I've probably been overthinking all month long and ready to kind of, just like kind of complete things and tie things up. And that's totally in line with luteal energy. So
yeah,
it feels good.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's like this weird sense of confidence.
Yeah. It's like you get these little sparks I've been noticing that a lot in these last few days as I'm even like writing this copy for my website, getting these hits of like, oh, I don't have it yet, but I can feel the clarity I'm about to have. And it's almost like they're little, what's the word? It's like a piece of your higher self kind of tapping you on your shoulder, not your like younger wounded self running the show in those moments. And it's like you get these little visions of what could be, what will be, when you're kind of letting that part of you run the show, drive the car.
Well, I think that's exactly it. It's like like that higher version of myself, whatever you want to call that.
I don't like higher thing very much, but
I know, me neither. I don't resonate with that language at all, but I feel like she's in the driver's seat, and I've kind of worked really hard at making that shift in my life and like having her be in the driver's seat for not just my choices in motherhood and like the actions of being a conscious mother, but also like a business owner and a wife, and like bringing her on more trips, if we want to use the car analogy, and allowing that inner critic and like the fear and whatever else, those other parts of ourselves, the perfectionist, to still be there, but they're just not in the driver's seat anymore.
Yeah. They feel safe. They know that you've got this, that they're okay to calm down, to let those protective survival mechanisms, you know, like turn the dial down. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I'm really hearing in a lot of what you're sharing about, you know, the stress that you're in, like you've used the word burnout, like it just sounds like you're in a season of needing a bit of a reset and a season of self-tending, of where you're just, you know, worried about yourself for a little while, getting yourself feeling nourished and supported in whatever way that looks like. And I know figuring out what that looks like is so hard.
And going back to that word burnout, because that's something that I've actually been trying not to use as often, because I feel like it does kind of have that negative energy around it, and it's kind of been pathologized and something that needs to be fixed or something that's wrong. You've done something wrong. And so I can be really quick to go down that way of thinking when I'm using the language of burnout. And instead, I'm truly recognizing that, like, when I look at the context of what's going on for me, this all does make sense. And so, like, the appropriate response and, like, the most loving and compassionate thing I can do to myself, my family, my business, my nervous system, is to create this space for pause, for rest, for reflection, for, that deep and tender self-care and indulgence and all the things that I think on paper we know we need to be doing, but they're always the first things that get pushed aside. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And space to just feel, right? That's the biggest one, is to just letting those feelings be there as much as you can.
I feel bad because I have to cut this episode short, and I feel like we could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to I don't know, maybe somehow bring more value to our listeners. But we also just talked about how, like, no, we don't do that. Like, just in deep trust that, like, our shares and our experiences here are valuable in some way.
And maybe just to, like, a way to wrap it up, you know, like refocusing back on that kind of full moon energy, like, is there anything that you want to release or let go of, or something that you're ready to just be completed? And if there's not, that's okay too. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I think, like, that's exactly kind of what I'm experiencing right now, is that illumination of what's ready to be complete. So kind of that confidence in my inner knowing of, like, what next steps I need to take, and that, like, we do need to make some shifts in our family dynamics and potentially in, like, childcare for Aubrey and what my office hours can look like, right? Yeah. Like, it's all of that. So I think the hard part and the magical part is actually following through on these things.
Yeah.
Because they're here for me if I choose to listen. And again, just, like, tapping into that self-trust of, like, I can do this, and I can trust myself even when these decisions feel really scary, even when these decisions feel borderline delusional and countercultural. And just reminding myself, like you had already said, like, I'm literally, like, breaking chains of buttloads of conditioning here. So no wonder some of it feels so scary and hard.
Yeah. And uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What about for you?
I think I'm just, ready to let go of this, like, last month of hermiting that I've been doing. And not even hermiting. It's more like I like to shift that and know that something was percolating, you know, and letting go of that, knowing that I'm ready to kind of, like, bloom again, and knowing that it's going to be a cycle and I'll be back here again probably next month. But who knows, right? And knowing that, trusting that I can just ride those waves, and really tapping into, like I said, those little blips of, like, vision that I see of this version of myself that I'm very excited to embody more of. I can feel that it's, like, it's there, it's coming. Something is about to majorly shift.
And knowing that, like, in order to tap into those little visions, like, you have to continue to stay present and open and, like, shush out the outside world enough so you can hear all that, right?
Yeah.
I do seriously have to go.
Okay.
But one last thing that I wanted to just talk about is around like the seasons and cyclical embodiment and everything. She can come in. It's fine. I'm almost done. Aubrey's back.
Yay.
Just around like, so as we're kind of attuning ourselves to the cycles, and like you just mentioned, like you feel yourself coming out of this like hermiting phase and you're ready to kind of start taking action and be more visible. And within all that, like we get to prepare and kind of brace ourselves for the next season. And I feel like that's only possible because we've started reflecting and paying attention to these patterns. So like, you know what's next, you know, kind of like the level of energy that will be required from you. And that like, as new seeds are planted, like those seeds need to be protected, just like seeds being planted in the spring. And like, all of that.
And like bracing yourself for what's to come without like expecting it either, you know, and falling into that trap of like, well, why aren't I feeling that energy burst of ovulation or whatever.
I feel like it's exactly like nature though, right? Like we know when winter's coming and there's things that you do to prepare for that season, but you don't actually have any idea how cold it's actually going to be or how many inches of snow are going to fall. It's all of that. So with that, okay, I'm sneaking off.
Thank you. Okay, if anything we've talked about in this episode resonates or ignites something in you in some way or another, hop into our DMs. Let's start a conversation. We'd love to hear from you. See you next time.